What message are you bringing here today?
Well, I wrote a book called Self-Made, and I think self-made is an identity. I think it's not just about entrepreneurship, which is who I am. I'm an entrepreneur, and my book is really a book for women about what's going on with entrepreneurship for women. But I think it's more than just leave your job and go get a company and go be a founder, which is very grandiose, and most people don't do that. It's about, I think, the times that we live in demand thinking like a self-made person. And that means that if you work for other people, while you're working for other people in today's world, you should be driving an Uber one day a week or selling something out of your closet on eBay, finding a way to have a side hustle where you can save that money, put that money away, and in some way become self-made, whether it's by investing in real estate, whether it's by buying a franchise, whether it's thinking that just working for other people the rest of our life is not going to cut it. Now, we're not all going to leave jobs and go work for other people, but we live in a time because of the digital age where so many more things are possible to create a self-made life on the side.
So is that more difficult for women given the political and cultural climate in America in 2018?
It's easier for women. Because women, traditionally, we don't have linear lives and linear paths. Not everybody goes to college, comes out, gets a job, and becomes a billionaire like Sheryl Sandberg, right? Most of us have kids, or we have obstacles, or we're immigrants, or we have things that happen that slow down our career path. But everyone in today's world from home, with apps, with a digital age, can start things from home while they're raising children, while they're doing things. Anonymously, they can do things while they have jobs. It's an incredible time for women. And in fact, the numbers are in our favor. Women are the fastest growing entrepreneurs in America. And multicultural women are beating everybody and beating all the odds out of necessity, because most of us can't break glass ceilings in corporations, but we can actually do very well entrepreneurially, whether it's 1 hour a week or full time.
So, taking a broader view, not simply economic, where are women today in America in 2018? We've had the Harvey Weinstein.
Yes, we've had Me Too and Time's Up.
Talk about that.
I think that we are definitely in a moment of a change. I think women, and why is that? I mean, when we look at it, we have 75 million women in the workforce. That's never happened in the history of
the country. That's the highest ever.
So, money, with success comes power, and power means you start not putting up with stuff. But to me, I think the next piece of the Me Too and Time's Up is there is no true empowerment until you have your own money. And we are in a moment of making our own money, having our own money, and growing wealth. I'm trying to teach women we have to think now bigger. And money does not buy you happiness, but it buys you choices. And never before in history have we had so many choices. So I see everything that's happened as great. First, we release secrets. Then we say enough is enough. And then we realize we got to go get our own money. And that is the path to all things. Because when women make money, when it's not patriarchal, and from a matriarchal point of view, when women make money, they bring it back to their home, to their family, and to their communities. We are the change makers of the communities we live in.
What about political power in women?
So you see, it's all of a sudden, they announced it last week, more women are running for office all of a sudden, because we realize what is our number one power? Our economic power. We are the number one customers in the country and in the world. Women, and women of color specifically, are the number one customers in America. Okay? That is the number one power we have. If we don't like a company, if we think companies aren't supporting women and supporting multicultural women, we can choose to not buy from them. There's not one company that can survive 1 month with women boycotting. Number two, the power to vote. And the power to vote the kind of people that support us and our families. And so those two powers are what we have. And so I'm starting with the number one power we have as the number one customer in this country, the power of our purchase. And the power we have to make money.
So I know your background in terms of your success, but talk about your childhood and where you came from.
So I'm an immigrant, came to this country in the middle of a communist regime change in Cuba.
What year was that?
This was 68 when it was actually post the revolution, but my parents were still stuck in there and couldn't leave.
And what did they do? What did your parents do?
My father's family were business owners. My mother was a rural school teacher. We came here. My parents lost everything. My mother couldn't teach because her degree was not worth anything. My father had to start all over again in the Ford Motors assembly line painting cars.
Where was that?
In New Jersey, in southern New Jersey at the time. And my parents brought me here, and like all immigrant kids, we started from nothing, with no contacts, with no money, with nothing, and with an incredible love for this country, understanding that we had just come from a horrible place, grateful to be here, and with a sense of teamwork, a sense of like we're in it together and we're going to do well, and really understanding that if my parents went through everything they went through, came here and sacrificed for me, I was going to take full advantage of all the great things this country had to offer. And I still think it's the greatest country in the world, even if everyone else disagrees.
So you grew up in New York City?
I grew up in Teaneck, New Jersey. And then when I became an adult, moved to New York, but then started my entrepreneurial and my TV career. And I've lived not just all over the country, abroad. I lived in Latin America. I started a business there. And now I live in Los Angeles because I moved there for the entertainment industry that I've worked in for so many years.
What about education? What's the value of education for all people, but in particular for women?
Thank you for asking. You know, I'm someone who didn't finish school early on. Like so many immigrants, we had to all work and help our parents and do that. And then later in life, at 45, after I had already made money, after I was already successful, my number one dream was to go back to school because in our cultures, we value education. I went back to school at 45 and got finished my BA, got a master's and doctorate in clinical psychology, and so much value education, but also want women out there to know that not all of us have a linear path. Not all of us go to school when we're supposed to. Not all of us have money to go to grade school. Sometimes we have to go to community colleges, which I value community colleges tremendously. But guess what? Again, when you make your own money, when you become self-made, you can do what I did. You can go to college. You can start again at any moment. You can finish school at any moment. And you can bring all that back to your family. So to me, education is primordial. If I took 4 years out of my life, went back to school, did a master's and a doctorate, I went year round to finish, that tells you how much I value it.
You obviously have an incredible work ethic. Where did that come from? It's quite obvious.
Everything good that's come in my life is because I'm an immigrant. It is. I don't think, you know, when I see young people that take things for granted or are entitled or whatever, I think the greatest thing that ever happened to me is that I am an immigrant. That's why I value immigrants in this country more than anything, because we really know that no matter how bad things are here, we've been in worse places. We know that economies can collapse. We know the banking system can collapse. They have in all of our countries. We come here with gratitude, a work ethic, and a desire to succeed. And where else in the world in one generation can you go from zero to self-made?
So what do you say to people, and you hear this in the national conversation, certainly, build the wall, keep them out. You've heard it all.
Celebrity Apprentice with Donald Trump. I know Donald Trump very well. I think it's a lot of blah, blah, blah to get ratings in a TV show or get votes of like, you know, people that you know, think that immigrants are the problem. Immigrants are the solution, not the problem. That is what the great thing about this country is, that it's the most diverse country in the world. That is where our strength comes from, not where our problems come.
So I think the last question I had, you know Donald Trump, obviously.
I do.
And we're now a year and 2 months into his presidency. How do you assess?
Well, you know, I know him, and I've worked on a show with him, and I've also worked with 7 other billionaires in this country. I think that in a country where we know the number one customer in America are multicultural women, it's silly to speak ill of immigrants and multicultural women that are really holding this country up through their purchase and through their work ethic. I think that I'm a very conservative person economically. I'm teaching people to start their own businesses. Yet I would never, you don't have to do one thing and then do the other, which is trash the people that are really the foundational great thing in this country. So to me, I can't imagine that that messaging is correct. I don't think it's really working for him. I think that I didn't vote for him for that reason. And I think that you can have both. I think you can have a country. I think we need to look at our bipartisan system. We need to look at the Democratic side and the Republican side, and we need to implode both, because I think there are things that we need to say. Who doesn't want a successful country in business? Of course we do. Who doesn't want people to take advantage of all the entrepreneurial opportunities? Of course we do. But we also have to be loving, and we have to message to the people that are holding this country up that they're loved and wanted in this country.